If you want to hear the word of the Lord this morning, let's turn together to Colossians chapter 1. We're resuming our study of Colossians, as the Lord allows, this morning. We began looking at verses 15 through 17. We want to go back to those verses, that passage, and take up our study there. And so we're looking at Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. We remind the congregation that this is the word of the living God, and if you are able, would you please stand for its reading. Paul is writing concerning the Lord Jesus when he says this, "And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." May God be pleased to minister to our spiritual needs from these truths of his word. Now, our blessed and our holy God, we ask that you might grant us your mercy and your grace as we place ourselves under the proclamation of your truth. Lord, it is your truth that we desire. It is your truth that we want to hear. Our God, we ask that you would work within each of our lives, that we might be prepared to receive this, your word. And we pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen our hearts towards righteousness from such truths. Lord, we would see Jesus this day, for we would worship him and him alone. We ask that you would bless and be with us, O God, for the sake of your name, for the sake of your truth, and that you would bless us for the sake of our own spiritual good. We pray for this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And all of the people of God can say, thank you. Would you please be seated? Beloved, it's all about Jesus Christ. That is, in essence, the message that Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. And he is doing this, of course, within the context, as we have noted previously, of the great heresies and the false teaching that is being promoted in the church and there in the town of Colossae. And what Paul is declaring is that no matter what else might be promoted by religious cultists in his day or in ours, it is all about Jesus Christ. We have noted that this is true everywhere we turn within the pages of the Bible. Every book of the Bible ultimately speaks about Christ. Every issue that is associated with covenant worship in the Scriptures, whether it be Old Covenant or New Covenant, ultimately has its focus upon Jesus Christ. Everywhere we go in the Scriptures, it is Christ who is exalted. But now Paul is making the case for that very principle to be seen in natural creation as well. He is declaring that everywhere you turn in the created order, you can see the handiwork of Jesus. We've begun looking at this text, and we've begun looking at it within this scope, this idea of the preeminence of Christ in creation. As we're working our way through the book of Colossians, we're seeing that Christ is supreme no matter what we're talking about. But Paul is now talking about the entire created order, and he is speaking of the supremacy of Christ in creation. We've already looked at two different things from verse 15 in this passage. We've seen, first of all, that Jesus is the image of God. That is to say that in all of creation we see the evidences for the existence of God. But if you want to see the unseen God, then look to Christ. We have also seen, secondly, that Jesus is what Paul calls the firstborn of the created order. As we have seen, this is not language that references Jesus as a creature himself, but it is language that speaks of the position and the rank that Jesus enjoys in creation. That is, his supremacy over all of creation. Where all religious heresies seek to reduce Christ, Paul, understanding the true gospel of God, exalts Christ and presents His proper place in creation. He is preeminent over all things. Now in verses 16 and 17, Paul gives us five different reasons why these matters are true. First of all, then, Christ is preeminent in creation because all was created in Him. Look at verse 16. Paul says, "For by Him all things were created." He starts this verse, does Paul, with this causal conjunction, is the word for, but he uses this by which he is justifying what he has just said about Jesus in verse 15. Why does the supremacy of Christ exceed the created order? Paul's answer, in essence, is because Jesus is the Creator. When Paul says at this point that all things were created, he is using a particular form or tense of the verb for creation at this point that speaks of the fact of creation. In other words, as Paul is thinking and as he is teaching, as he is writing under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, how the universe was created is not a matter of discussion for him. He is talking about the fact of creation. He is talking about the fact that the universe was made, and he is in particular speaking about the fact that it is Christ who has made it. Now the question is, what does that include? Paul says it includes all things. That is a phrase that references everything that can be contained within this whole circumstance and this whole subject of the created order of everything that exists. And Paul in this text emphasizes this matter. He emphasizes it, first of all, by using this phrase four different times in verses 16 and 17. Look at that. All things. All things. All things. All things are created by Christ. Further, he emphasizes by the use of categories. He categorizes everything that Christ has made as the Creator. He categorizes all things in geography. He speaks about heavens and earth. Everything in the heavens Jesus has made, and everything on earth He has made this as well. He categorizes it by nature, talking about things that are visible and invisible. And He categorizes it by power, as He speaks about thrones and rulers and dominions and authorities. All of the matters that fall within these various categories, anything that you can find there, it has been made by Christ. Paul is saying, anything that you can find on earth, Jesus made it. He is also saying, and everything in the universe, whether you can find it or not, Jesus has made that as well. He is saying that everything that you can see, Jesus has made that. And Paul is also declaring everything that you can't see that is a part of creation, Jesus has made that also. He is declaring that any power, whether human or divine, whether physical or spiritual, any authority, whether earthly, heavenly, or even unknown to us, Christ has made it all. And this is why Paul comes to the great climax, as he does in Colossians 1:18 at the end, where he says, so that Christ may have first place in everything. Now, as Paul is making this argument, in verse 16, going on into verse 17, he uses a series of Greek prepositions. And in fact, these five reasons for His preeminence in creation, I'm just following the Greek prepositions that Paul lays out in our text. But notice something here, first of all, before we begin looking at them. In verse 16, in the New American Standard Version of the Bible, which I remind you is the official version of Providence Presbyterian Church, you have the phrase twice, by Him. Do you see that? If you have the right Bible, you'll see that by Him. The NIV includes it this way as well. When we look at that phrase, those phrases in the English, we would assume that these are the same words in Greek, but actually they're different. The second set is actually literally the phrase through Him, and some of your Bibles translates it that way. This first phrase, often translated by Him, almost always translated by Him, and we'll talk about the second one later. This first one, though, is literally in the Greek, in Him. The base meaning for the preposition at this point is the term or the idea of within. What Paul is writing at this point is he says, for within Christ all things were created. Now, most scholars take this language and define it as the sphere within which all things were created, using the sphere referring to Christ. He is that sphere within everything that has been made But what does that really mean? Well, concerning creation, Paul is saying Jesus is the realm of authority for it. Concerning creation, Jesus is the context of might for it. He is the range of power within which everything is made. Or to say it this way, which has been most helpful, I think, for me in my own thinking, it is language that declares that creation is bound up with Jesus Christ. That is to say, the created order is inseparable with Christ. It cannot be separated from Jesus and His divine authority. Outside of Christ, there is nothing that has been made. This is exactly what the Scriptures teach us in John chapter 1, verse 3. The latter part says, apart from Him, referring to Christ, apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So how are we to understand this, and what difference does it make? Well, here's the question. Who is the Creator? The answer from the Bible is God. Genesis 1:1 tells us that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But we could further refine the question by saying, which person of the Godhead is the Creator? Which person did it? Well, we understand from the Scriptures that the Father had a part to play in the creation. Psalm 148, verse 5 says, let them praise the name of Jehovah, for He commanded, and they were created. Jehovah commanded creation, and it was done. Or the first two verses of Hebrews declares, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son. We know there God, therefore, referred to is the Father, who has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom the Father also made the world. So the Father is the Creator. But so is the Spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, going all the way back to the very beginning, in verse 2, it is the Spirit that the Bible tells us is hovering over this mass of the created order. The Spirit is the Creator as well, and God the Son is the Creator. This is the point that Paul is making here in Colossians 1, verse 16. But in the first part of John 1, 3, John says, all things came into being by Him. And I would remind you again of Hebrews 1:2, talking about how the Father has made everything, but the Scriptures say He has made it through Him, that is, through Jesus Christ. In other words, beloved, there is a covenantal approach to creation. By that I mean all three persons who make up the Godhead were a part of the act of creation. They fulfilled their respective responsibilities in creation as together as God created the whole. And therefore there is a covenantal aspect to Christ's responsibility in creation as well. And when we look at this and we see all three parts fulfilling a covenant agreement with each other, all three persons fulfilling a covenant agreement with each other to create everything that exists, yet it is Christ whose responsibility is preeminent. Let's think about it this way. If we think about redemption, we've been to here before, Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14, a classic passage talking about the covenantal way in which God has redeemed His people. And thus, from that passage in biblical theology, we call this the covenant of redemption. What we find there is that the Father initiates the redemption of His people. The Son accomplishes that redemption. And the Spirit applies the redemption of God to His elect. You see, all three persons are working covenantally together so that together they might accomplish that whole purpose of the redemption of God's people. And yet we understand in that process of redemption, Christ's responsibility is preeminent. Do you see? Do you see? It is similar then in creation. We are told in the Scriptures the Father initiated it. Psalm 148:5. Jehovah commanded it, and it was done. We understand that the Spirit molds and shapes creation. Genesis chapter 1. We also understand that the Son creates. John 1:3. And yet it is the Son's act of creation that is preeminent. Let's think about it this way. Let's think about it in terms of building a house. Let's say there are three people who have responsibilities for building the house. There is the architect, there is the builder, and there is the decorator. They all three have their responsibilities. They all three have agreed, we presume, that they will do their particular responsibilities in building the house. The architect, of course, puts together the plans and has the vision for how things will be. The builder goes out and fulfills that vision and builds the thing physically. The decorator comes in and puts all the great finishing touches and flourishes onto the house. But which one has the preeminent, most important part? The builder. Said by a builder. The builder. If the builder doesn't build, the architect can draw everything he wants and it's not going to get done. And if the builder doesn't build, there's nothing to decorate. You see, they all have their part to play. They are all needed. They're all a part of the process, but the preeminent act comes from the builder. And that's what we're talking about here at this point. So it is with Christ in creation. All the parts provided by the three persons of the Trinity, absolutely necessary, but the preeminence of creation goes to the Son. This is why Paul says that creation is bound up, quote, in Him. But I would submit to you, so is everything else. If we go back to Ephesians 1 again, verse 4 tells us that the Father has chosen us, what? In Him, referring to Christ. So that you see, even this great doctrine of election, as taught us in the Scriptures, is bound up inseparably to the Lord Jesus Christ. That phrase, in Him, in reference to Christ, is found throughout the New Testament in reference to a variety of things that have to do with us and our lives and our faith. that are bound up in Christ. And so we find our life is in Him. Our faith is in Him. The glory of God is bound up in Him. Our spiritual enrichment is in Him. And as you might imagine, so is our redemption. In fact, the Apostle Paul uses this phrase "in Him" 8 different times in this little book of Colossians. This short letter to the church at Colossae, in this short letter, Paul speaks 8 different times about the issues that are to be found in Christ. In verse 15, the Scriptures tell us that Jesus is the exact image of God and is preeminent over all the created order. We say, why? And the answer from the Scriptures is because, in part, He is the supreme Creator being elevated in the act of creation by the Father. And so, in the preeminence of Christ over creation, we see that this is true, first of all, because all was created in Him. Secondly, it's true because all was created through Him. Look at verse 16 again. For by Him all things were created. He talks about all the spheres in which this is done. At the end of verse 16, he says, all things have been created by Him. But in the Greek, that phrase is what I said before, literally through Him. It is a preposition of instrumentality at this point, that the creation has been accomplished because of Jesus Christ. And therefore, I want to say to you, there is a mediatorial aspect to Christ's act and part in creation. I said there's a covenantal aspect to it. And now Paul is saying with this prepositional phrase, there is a mediatorial aspect to Christ's part in creation. That is to say, He is acting on behalf of the Father who has commanded creation. You remember what Hebrews 1:2 tells us? That the Father made everything through Christ. Well, what is the purpose for this? What is the purpose for the Father using the instrumentality of the Son? What is the purpose for all of creation being accomplished through Christ? Does that have to do with the impotence of the Father? Does that speak to us about His incapacity, the Father's, to perform creation on His own? That would be heresy, of course. The answer is no. It has everything to do with the supremacy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It elevates the Son to the position of preeminence in creation. The Father, being fully God, is perfectly capable on His own of creating all things. So too with God the Spirit. But the supremacy of creation has been given to the Son. It honors Him and it glorifies Him. Growing up on a farm in the Midwest as a little boy, I would go out often and quote unquote help my father. And often, whenever something needed to be fixed, whether it was fixing a fence or trying to get a tractor started or rewiring something electrical or whatever, I would go out and be there with my father who was doing all the work. And I would often stand there. At best, I would hand him a tool that he would ask for. At most, I stood there and just simply watched him do the work. When we were finished and we'd go back up to the house, my father would always give a report to my mother. And in that report, he would include me. And he would say, well, Randy and I fixed the tractor and got it started today. Randy and I fixed that fence where the calves got out the other day. Randy and I did this. He would elevate me in the eyes of my mother. He was gracious to me in that sense. Now, something similar, but something very different at the same time, is happening between the Father and the Son in creation. The Father is, to be sure, elevating the Son positionally in creation by giving Him the work that He has accomplished. But the Father is in no way granting grace to the Son as my Father has done to me. Rather, what the Son, Father is doing is almost stepping aside and showcasing the power and the authority that is vested in the Son of God and showing the entire created order, look what the Son is capable of doing. It is an elevation of the Son to His honor, and it is an elevation in creation for the Son to His glory. And it legitimately belongs to Jesus Christ, such honor and glory. The honor that my Father would give me in the eyes of my mother was illegitimate. It was an act of grace on His part to me. But the honor and the glory that the Father gives the Son in creation is legitimately His, because He is the Creator. Jesus Christ is preeminent over all of creation for these reasons. Because all was created in Him, because all was created through Him, and because all was created for Him. There's our last prepositional phrase there at the end of verse 16, which you can see. All things have been created through Him and for Him. I have suggested to you that Christ's part in creation had a covenantal aspect to it. It has had a mediatorial aspect to it. And now Paul is saying it has a doxological aspect to it as well. Because everything that Jesus has created has been made for His honor and His glory. In essence, what the Scriptures are telling us is Christ is the goal for all creation. Jesus is the master all creation serves. His glory is the purpose for which all creation exists. His honor is the objective of the created order. Now, I worked hard on that wording. I thought through every word. I think this is important, and I want you to get it. Jesus is the master all creation serves. His glory is the purpose for which all creation exists. His honor is the objective of the created order. It is not just Colossians 1 that teaches us this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 says about Christ, speaks of Him in this way, "For whom are all things?" Jesus Himself says, as the resurrected Christ in Revelation 22:13, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Jesus is the all in all. And we're going to see again in Colossians 1:18, Paul say that Jesus might have first place in everything. Beloved, the universe exists to the glory of Christ. The sun shines in honor of Christ. Rain falls to the ground in regard of Christ. A deer grazes in the mountains in celebration of Christ. And you live and breathe for the exaltation of Jesus Christ. You see, this is the objective biblical reality of these matters. But is that your personal conscious worldview? Do you have a sense of honoring Christ in your life? Paul says, all things were created in Christ. All things were created through Christ. All things were created for Christ. And that includes you. you were created for Christ. We can go back briefly to Genesis chapter 2 and what we call the creation ordinances. This is the way that Christ created it to be. These are the spheres in which Christ created you to live your life. It has to do with covenant and Sabbath, family and labor. For you to live within the context of a covenant relationship with God is an honor to Jesus Christ, your Creator and Redeemer. For you to involve yourself in the Sabbath-keeping worship of the living God is an honor and a glory to Jesus Christ who has made you. For you to live within the context of a family to which Christ has assigned you as your Creator is to honor and glorify Christ. And for you to do the work within the context of labor that God has given for you as your Creator is to live in honor of Jesus Christ. Everything has been created in Him and through Him and for Him, and that includes you. And these are the spheres in which you are to live so as to honor Jesus Christ, your Creator and your Redeemer. Because the truth of the Scriptures is this: you were created in Christ. You were created through Christ. And you were created for Christ. I think I need to pray for you. And Lord, I need to pray for me. Oh God, help us to have the sight of the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Scriptures. Help us to catch even a glimpse of the truth about Jesus Christ, our Creator, and as we're going to see, our Redeemer. Lord, help us to recognize that this thing we call life is not about us. It is not about our desires. It is not about our wants, our hopes, or our dreams. It is not about our pleasure. But Lord, it is all about You. It is about our living for You. It is about our service to You. It is about the fact that You have created us for Yourself, and You have made us that we should live in the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. So help us, God, we pray. And we pray for this on the authority that is preeminent in the universe. We pray this on the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And all the people of God can say, Amen.